Well, let's say a word about the devotional. If you have not had the opportunity to get the devotional, it's on our Facebook page at church. If you go to Kingsway Baptist Church Facebook page. And also, I send it out each morning on the prayer chain. And if you don't do either of those, let me know. If email or a text, be more than happy to send it to you if you're interested each morning. I'm just grateful for the positive response I've heard from you, an opportunity to take a minute or two. It's just a minute or two each day to think about God and allow me to be a part of that. So thank you for that, and love for you to join in if you haven't. Also, I want to say tonight, speaking of short minute or two, tonight, instead of regular Bible study, I just want to have a devotional of just a couple of minutes. I already proved I can be short, believe it or not. And I want to offer from this message, really, a challenge. Just, you know, a short challenge to put, you know, hey, how do we take this from the here to where we go? Because, you know, we're missionaries. We leave this place, and we take, hopefully, an insight from God and serve Him with that insight we gain. So that's the heart, that's the goal. So at 6, short devotional, and then we'll see who the master rook and Scrabble players are, not me. But anyway, it should be fun, should be a joy. Come join us. All right, in our text, we're in book of 1 Peter, and our text for this morning are two verses, chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verses 16 and 17. And I want to ask you if you'll stand in honor of our great, awesome God as I read from His holy book. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Let's pray. Father, we want to live as your servants, to show proper respect for everyone, Lord, to love the brotherhood, to show them respect and to honor and to honor the King and all those. And Father, to serve and trust you. And I just pray this morning that we will hear from you. Big deal if you hear from me. But I pray the Spirit of God will speak far beyond what I could say. And Lord, just that we would leave saying, I want to be closer to Jesus. That's the prayer. That's the heart, Lord. So guide us as we discuss these verses. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Man, this getting older stuff is tough business. Someone I saw in an email the other day, just a couple of quick things of getting older, says, you know you're getting older when they call you before 9 p.m. at night and say, did I wake you up? You know you're getting older when you get in the elevator and you know all the words to the instrumental songs that are being played. And boy, here's a tough one. You know you're getting older when you can tell your friends your deepest secrets and you don't have to worry about it because they don't remember either. You know what you said? And one commentator, he said that, man, getting old, life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. And man, it does seem like that life really flies. You know, it's amazing to me. They talk about how there's just this knowledge that is growing leaps and bounds that is available to us, you know, through the World Wide Web and on and on. And you know, I remember not that long ago, they were saying that knowledge increased every couple of years, and then it went to knowledge increases every year. And the last thing I checked for this message, they said that someone had said every 11 hours, our knowledge doubles. That is bigger than I can fathom. I don't even know what I think I know, which isn't much. But the point is that there are things that we can know, not the expansion of not technical knowledge, scientific knowledge, but what we can know is that there is a God who loves us and has sought us out, and that we need Him. As a matter of fact, this book declares that we need God, that we are without hope, that we are sinners, which means we've turned away from Him, and that He loves us, He has pursued us. And what this particular message is about, we're going to look at seven truths of counsel from these verses on how to be a good citizen. We're called to be good citizens. And boy, in this political climate that we live in today, regardless of where you fall in politics, there is a chance that you're going to hear something ugly, or that there is going to be a sense of animosity come from some direction. But that shouldn't come from us as the people of God. No, man, we need to love God and we need to love people. That doesn't mean we agree with everybody. Are you kidding me? There's some real nuts out there. But name a few. I heard some. And the point is, though, God calls us to share His truth, to do that with gentleness, it tells us, and with respect, but to be loving yet bold. It doesn't do us any good to hide the truth or to ignore the truth or to act as if the truth doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, if we act as if the truth doesn't matter, then they say, they don't even believe it. Why should I? So let's jump in and look at these seven. The first one is simply this. Man, you're free if you're in Jesus. You are free. Look at verse 16. Live as free men. Man, we live in an age where there's a question of, can you pray publicly? Can you read your Bible publicly? And there are those who believe that instead of freedom of religion, it's freedom from religion. But the truth of the matter is, no matter what kind of laws or no matter what kind of hindrances there are to practicing your faith, what no one can control is your relationship with God. That is between you and the living God, and no one else can stop that. Man, when you come to Christ, there is a freedom that is discovered in Him. Jesus said in John 8:36, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, we are told that He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. He has rescued us. Man, we are free in Christ. And that is something that should not be taken lightly. It is something that we should not forget. I love Romans 8, verse 1. It simply says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, the work of the cross means that when God looks upon you, He sees His Son. He doesn't see your mess. You are forgiven. He loves you. That doesn't mean you continue on in a path of sin or disobedience to God. It means He doesn't hold grudges. He loves you. You're free. All right, number two, I got to move on here. Never use your freedom to run wild. Look at the next part of our text in verse 16. But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. This word cover up, it could be translated as a mask or a veil which tries to hide something. And what he's saying here is, do not use your freedom in Christ to sin, to forget about God, to leave Him out of your life. Do not act, well, He's going to forgive me anyway, no matter what I do. He wants me to have a little fun. You are here to glorify God. That is what He has called us to. It's one of the verses that always fascinated me. It's 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, and it says this, all things are permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial. In other words, you're free in Christ. You can do anything that you want to do, and that's not going to condemn you to hell. It's not going to remove God's love from your life. but it won't be beneficial for you. There's going to be some consequences for choices outside of God's plan, outside of God's best. You can make choices that will hurt you, but that doesn't mean that God will stop you. The next part of the verse says, everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. So here's the key here. God says, do not be mastered by anything. If there is something in your life that controls you, look out. Examine that. Be honest about that. Is this controlling me? All right, number three. Remember, you have been freed only to be mastered by Christ. William Barclay had this great quote. He said, we are not free to do as we please. We are free to do as we ought. You see, the truth of the Scripture tells us that we are all slaves. It is not a matter of are you a slave. It is a matter of to whom are you enslaved. And the beauty of the gospel is that we have a new master in Jesus Christ who loved us, who died for us, who holds nothing good from us, and who has our best interests at heart. But make no mistake about it, He is Lord. He is Master. He is the one meant to be in charge as our God. It is not about suggestions. It's about, yes, Lord. He is to be the one to whom we are enslaved. So the question is, whose slave are you today? Whose slave are you today? God? Or someone else? Next one. Show respect for everyone. Look at our text. He tells us, show proper respect to everyone. Everyone. That means that rascal that you want to hide from, that you don't want to talk to, that tends to hurt your feelings. But the goal is, don't get even. Or here's the best way to get even. Pray for them. Love them. Live for Jesus. And you know what will happen? Your enemies will become your friends because the gospel will come alive. They'll come to Christ. Man, that's the ultimate goal. That's what God has left us here to do. You know, it's interesting here. Being God's servant, the word actually talked about the lowest form of slave in the Roman world, of which there were 60 million slaves who were barely considered to be even human. They were a possession. And that's really the word that's used here. We are a possession of God. You know, as it says in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, you were bought with a price. Your body is not your own. It is meant to bring honor to God. And we are to show respect to other people because, quite frankly, we are all made in the image of God. People count. People matter. It's interesting here. This word honor is used in Luke chapter 15, where Jesus is talking about honor your father and your mother. And so, man, he's saying, hey, give the type of honor to people that you would even give to your parents. Wow. That can be some difficult stuff. But we need to be known as a people who are not quick to get angry, but it says in James, but are quick to listen, slow to anger, that God may work through us for His glory to touch lives. I love this story that I came across. It was an atheist who was talking to Jonathan Glover, who was an atheist professor at Oxford, and this apologist made this great point. He said, just imagine that you get out in a bad side of town where you live, and 10 big burly guys walk out of a building, and they're walking toward you. Now, here's the question. Does it make any difference whether or not they're coming out of a Bible study? You bet it does. Because coming out of a Bible study means they were there. They were there to meet God. They're not there to break my face, you know. They come toward you. What does that say? It says Christ changes people. That is the point. Getting in the Word, letting the Word get into you, letting God change our lives. We are called to honor and respect one another. It tells us in James chapter 3, verse 9, with our tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. My brothers, this should not be. Man, we don't need to be known as a people who curse one another, who downgrade one another. But it says we need to honor, because people are made in the image of God, and it matters. All right, I need to move on here. Next, don't forget to love your church deeply. Our text goes on. He says, love the brotherhood of believers. He is talking about specifically here, you know, it's interesting as a preacher, and man, it's easy for me to preach this. I love it because Jesus said, all men will know you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. And I love it when people in the church love each other. That is cool. And he says, that's our best witness. And that's not too hard to preach. But I think the reason this is pretty far down the list. I mean, you know, we preachers, we'd be tempted to put that way up here on top of the list. He goes down a little bit. You know why I think he goes down a little bit? After he says honor everyone, he's saying, now, wait just a minute. Don't begin to think that your church, your specific group of believers you hang out with and that you love and are connected to, are all the Christians there are. Believe it or not, don't tell anybody, but there are other Christians in Bristol. Johnson City, Kingsport, and in a lot of places. And they're pretty cool if they love Jesus. Now, they're kind of odd sometimes in some of the things they do. You know, I talk about my good friend who's Russian Orthodox. He's got a beard and he looks like Santa Claus. And some of the guys met him the other night. But and they do things a little differently, the Orthodox Church, the way they worship. But I tell you one thing, that rascal loves Jesus. So, that's all I got to say about that. Love one another who are in the body of Christ. Number six, in all you do, live in awe of God. We are called to fear God. James chapter 1, verse 7 says a person who does not follow the Word of God, man, they're like a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. You know, he tells us in the text there further down, do not merely listen to the Word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. He says a believer, a person in Christ who does not do what the Word of God says, it's like looking in a mirror and forgetting what you look like. You are to look like Jesus. And when we don't live according to the Word of God, we forget what we look like. We forget the image that we are made in and the image that we are to live. He tells us here, fear God, and literally it's in the continuous present verb. It means keep on fearing God. Don't stop fearing God. Fear God. Make Him your priority. Make Him your priority. So what does it look like to fear God? Well, just a couple of thoughts here I got on the outline. First, a hunger to read the Word of God. I love there's a verse in Jeremiah 15:16. He says, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord Almighty. I thought of Psalm 119:9-11, some of the first verses I committed to memory. It says this, how can a young man keep his way pure? In other words, God, how can I be holy? How can I fear you? How can I live for you? And here's what he says. He goes on the verse. He says, uh-oh, went brain dead. Now I have to go back. I have hidden your word. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. See, there's the hunger. The hunger, he says, Lord, I understand. If I'm going to be holy, I need to think like you think. I need to get myself aligned with you. Hey, man, you ever had your car's tires out of alignment? And look at your tires and the inside of your tires were like bald. Rest of it looked good. You got a problem. Why do you got a problem? Because your car's not lined up. And those wheels are going the wrong direction and it's wearing out the tires. And our lives wear out when they're not in alignment with God. How can a young man keep his way pure? Hey, he says, I have memorized your word. I have placed it in my heart. But that's not all that he says. He says, do not let me stray from your commands. Man, in other words, he's saying, it's not enough just to memorize that word. He says, let me apply it to my life, to live it, that I will be that Bible that other people can see from God. That makes all the difference. And then there's one more here. Look at here. Thirdly, he places confidence in the Word of God. Psalm 118, verse 8 in the Jubilee translation. He says, it is better to trust in God than to trust in man. And I love Isaiah 26:3 in the King James. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And the next verse says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Confidence in God and in His Word. This is what it means to fear Him. Hunger for His Word. Obeying His Word. Living His Word. And then having a confidence in God. All right, I got to get to this last point. No, no. Time I got here. 11:59. Y'all give me more than 1 minute, okay? All right. The last one here is honor the King. You know what's interesting here? Is this word honor that he uses? He's already used. When he said up here earlier, where he says show proper respect to everyone, that's the same word as honor the King. So it's almost like he's saying, I've already told you to honor everyone. Even this guy that I don't want to honor, but Lord, he's made in your image. You have placed him as emperor. You have placed him in charge, and you have called me in obedience to you to honor him. And guys, you know, to take this over to where we are, we need to honor people who are in authority. It doesn't mean you have to agree with them, but you should show them honor. Whether it's a president, vice president, senator, a person in the House, local representatives, we need to be respectful. Not necessarily agreeing with their policies, not necessarily agreeing with what they do, but by the fact that they are in that office, it is a place of respect. Paul gives an example of this in Acts 23. He's gone through so much political stuff. He's been put in prison here, and then he's shipped here and put in prison, you know. So he finally ends up before the Jewish Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish Supreme Court. And while he is there, he is talking to those on the Supreme Court. And he hears, have this man slapped for what he says. So he's, bam, they whack Paul. Paul says, you whitewashed wall, how dare you claim to be a judge of God's word and his truth and have me slapped. Guy says, Paul, that was a high priest. You know what Paul did? He said, I'm sorry. I did not know he was the high priest. And the scriptures clearly declare, man, do not revile the high priest. He could have, you know, stayed mad. And he could have tried to vindicate himself. Paul was a smart dude. I mean, he could have given some clear reasons why, you know, it is not good to slap a guy. It hurts. I'm mad. Shouldn't have done that. But he didn't do that. He quickly repented and said, you know, I want you to see God in me. I want you to see me in me. Then there's the example of Daniel. Remember Daniel? He ends up thrust into a land different than his home. And he stays there the rest of his life. And God uses him in politics. It is possible to use a guy in politics. And uses him for the glory of God. And you know what's interesting? There are different... He lives through different kings, through different rulers. And each time he shows respect. Even when he's thrown in the lion's den, he's showing respect to those leaders. So the scripture gives us clear examples of this. So being a good citizen, clear counsel from the scripture, and a challenge to each of us. If people are going to know Jesus and they're going to see Jesus, it is not reserved to this room. Politics is merely being out in the community and meeting needs. And we can argue about how that's done through political ideas, through government or through the individual and all of that stuff. But the bottom line is people out there are hurting, and we have Christ, and he doesn't need to be a secret, guys. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be here with your people. And Father, thank you for being with us, Lord. And we need you, God. This is a moment, a special time in our service with an altar that's open where people have an opportunity to come and to pray, to bring their burdens before you in a public manner by bowing at the altar and praying. It is an opportunity to come and to share with a church family and have an opportunity for me to pray specifically with a person about a need and maybe to share with all of us, Lord, what you're up to in their lives. Father, I don't know. Maybe it's a decision that needs to be made by a believer and they need to turn to you. And Father, it may be that there's someone here who they've never really trusted Jesus Christ to forgive their sin, to give them a new start, to free them from the condemnation thing. Maybe they've just never said yes to the wonderful love of God in Jesus Christ. What a great time now to do that, to say yes, to say, Jesus, you're God. I'm not. Forgive me, Lord. Enter my life. Give me a new hope, a new start, and just empower me to be yours. And so, Father, do that work. Anyone that's prayed that, may they come and tell us about it. And, Father, we just want to serve you. So in the few moments that we sing, Father, may it be to you. May we say yes to whatever you call us to. In Christ's name, amen.